Welcome to IEA Conversations. I'm Darren Grimes, Digital Manager at the IEA. In this week's podcast, the IEA's Associate Director, Kate Andrews, sat down with Francis Boole, who recently took part in the BBC2's Mastermind, braving the black chair to compete for the coveted Mastermind trophy. What made this episode special was Francis's choice of specialist subject for the interrogation style question and answer session. Francis chose Friedrich Hayek, one of the most important liberal thinkers of the 20th century. He wrote not just about economics, for which he won a Nobel Prize, but also politics, psychology, and the history of ideas. Kate asked Francis to take her through his journey of becoming interested in Hayek's work, why he decided to pick him as his specialist subject, if Francis believes Hayek is relevant in 2019, and how his body of work can help us navigate through our current political and economic climate, especially given that amongst young people, socialism is now very much in vogue.
Francis, thank you so much for joining me. We're elated to have a celebrity on multiple fronts with us. You appeared on Mastermind at the end of last year, and your specialty topic was Friedrich von Hayek. And you aced every question. I think you got 11 out of 11 right.
You know, maybe I thought it would be good for some people at the BBC to read some Hayek as well.
Which so, they will have had to do to
so I kind of
prep.
I forced them to do that.
Well done. Yeah, doing your small part
to educate
the masses. So I would love to know how, you know, a young person like yourself became interested in Hayek. I mean, I certainly am too, but I find myself sort of alone in my reading habits.
Yeah.
You know, you became so passionate about it that you went on national TV to take part in a game show. So what was that process like for you?
I guess, so how I became interested in Hayek, I guess it goes back to, so I studied economics for A-level. I then went to study philosophy. Actually, originally I was just studying philosophy. And I arrived at Edinburgh, you know, 2008, 2007, you know, just before the financial crisis. So that all came about, the subprime mortgage crisis. And it sort of reignited my interest in economics. I became very, very interested in monetary theory and it kind of led to me actually then moving from just philosophy, straight philosophy, to doing philosophy and economics. I read some Ayn Rand and then eventually got exposed to the ideas of Ludwig von Mises. And through von Mises, then started reading more Hayek.
Truly organic experience for you.
Yeah.
You went from one to the next.
I guess it was. And I guess it was because of my fascination with what was going on in America, the subprime mortgage crisis, and really what were the underlying causes of that? The Federal Reserve had essentially become a sort of credit management agency for the private sector, you know, just ended up with all this sort of housing finance paper on its balance sheet. And I've read more Hayek and von Mises, and then, you know, obviously became very interested in the work of Murray Rothbard and
you've literally ticked every sound philosopher box. So this is a lot of reading and very impressive. So that's how you came to support free market ideas, become sympathetic towards them. Hayek was born in Austria.
Yeah.
And one of his major role models was von Mises, wasn't it? And it's been reported that Hayek became an economist because he wanted to help improve the social conditions of the world. One of the accusations against free marketeers, if you're giving them a sympathetic hearing, is that they mean very well, but their ideas don't always come across as being very personable, very humane. They're not as in touch. If you're being less generous and you're against the ideology, then you say, you know, they don't care about the poor, they don't care about society. But Hayek directly got involved in economics to help society.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What do you make of that? I mean, do free marketeers today have a problem with messaging?
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, on the surface, it would appear, you know, that those on the left feel they have some kind of moral authority, you know, or some monopoly on compassion. But actually, when you get to the core of free market principles, you realize that it is the only compassionate choice, and it is the only way that we can actually improve the lives and the lot of the majority of people. And I think, yes, that isn't communicated because of this kind of weird situation where, you know, the moniker of a liberal, being a liberal, has been completely redefined to be basically the opposite of what it actually should mean, which is, standing for free markets and free individuals, appealing to the young people, which is what we should be doing. People who believe in free markets have kind of identified themselves as conservatives, but I think amongst young people, that kind of makes people think of tradition and things which actually don't really excite young, you know, people who want, you know, radical change and reform. I think we need to be more focused on individual freedom and the elements of liberalism, or the origins of liberalism, which I think are exciting and can be exciting to young people.
Really important point, because Hayek wasn't a conservative. I mean, a lot of people would try to put him in that camp, being on the center-right, conservative. But he was fundamentally a classical liberal.
He was a reformist, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And would have liked to see a lot more radical change than he did see over the course of his lifetime. Although, you know, we can get into that a little bit later. But
well, he famously wrote, you know, Why I Am Not a Conservative, yes, to explain just that. And in fact, when in one of the most... I think accessible books for people if they want to kind of expose themselves to Hayek's ideas is The Fatal Conceit, which I think is a great place to start.
I have a quote from that. The curious task of economics is to demonstrate to men how little they really know about what they can imagine they can design.
Exactly, yeah. Great. Yeah,
and I think this takes us on to another very important point that's relevant today, extremely relevant, is sort of that the rise of that populist narrative, that the state or that big brother, that something bigger and stronger than you is better at controlling your life than you are. As we see the rise of these left and right populist movements throughout the West, the thing they have in common is that they're all opposed to classical liberalism.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you do it from the left or the right. They're very anti-free market ideas. And in Hayek's, you know, probably most famous book today, in his sort of pinnacle piece, The Road to Serfdom, which he published in 1944, it is this warning against socialist and fascist uprisings, that the state central bodies just simply cannot improve the economy in a way that free markets and free individuals can. And it feels like we're going back to basics, a debate that surely seemed to be won in the 1980s and 90s, right back at square one, because people are gaining a lot of traction going against Hayek and against these ideas and advocating for the state.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And there are really a lot of parallels between the climate now to sort of 40s and 50s and the sort of trendiness of socialist ideas. And also, you know, as Hayek called them, these cheap dealers, cheap secondhand dealers in ideas, you know, the sort of intellectual class who cherry pick ideas from experts and economists who fit their narrative, and it's a problem. And you know, Hayek, famously argued that actually the people who should be disseminating their ideas are the people who are generating them. Today, we have a problem in that it is trendy to be a socialist, you know, and it shouldn't be. And I think it's a sort of hipster fad in a way. And I guess because it's lacking any real intellectual substance.
No, they're motivated by trends and sort of the modern day appeal of something that has no examples, apparently. People say that real socialism's never been tried, so it's great to idealize some ideal that we've never actually achieved. But, you know, goodness forbid you do look at socialist experiments from North Korea to Venezuela, it becomes a lot
less
appealing. But the intellectuals that you spoke about, that Hayek spoke about, the sort of intellectual elite that crave power and they know that in order to source power, they need to promote collectivist ideas. I mean, again, this seems extremely relevant. It's related to the Brexit vote. It's related to the uprisings in Europe. You know, again, it's not to say that this is black and white and one side's right and one side's wrong. But the struggle for power, for me, always seems to actually come back to the fact that people know if they have the power, they get to choose what happens over other people's lives.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
And surely our goal should be to disperse the power from the center, so it's not that one side or the other side has it, but to give it back to people to help in that spontaneous order to create free market exchange.
Well, that's it. And I think, a sort of Keynesian approach to economics is catnip to the political class, because they want something which permits and justifies their action and the consolidation of their power and the centralization of power. Keynesian ideas definitely fit the bill for that, but it's led to this Pandora's box of sort of modern monetary theory. It really beggars belief that some people who consider themselves reasonable can actually espouse modern monetary theory with a straight face. A 5-year-old could work out that, you know, let's say you have a cookie and one cookie is 5 beans or beads or whatever, you know, more beads doesn't equal more cookies. You can't you can't multiply the net assets in an economy by creating more money like QE infinity. I mean,
child who often tried to steal cookies from our top drawer, I was aware that there was a finite supply.
Exactly, there's a finite supply.
As were my parents. What are we going to do about this? I think many of Hayek's ideas are more relevant than ever before. But more young people are turning their heads towards the fantasy of socialism. Mm. It's a worrying proportion of young Americans who think that more people were killed under George W. Bush than Joseph Stalin. This idea that we need to redistribute more, that the state's going to solve everything, has traction right now. How would Hayek have seen 2019? What kind of messaging would he want us to put out there? And also, what do we need to take from him today that's still so relevant to the debate we're having?
Well, I think if you look back at Hayek's writings, especially after his Nobel Prize, he tried to be more, of a gradualist. You know, in the climate that he was writing in, you know, socialism was becoming more popular, and Keynes was lauded as this, you know, hero on the economic scene. He made some compromises in his writings, which I think are maybe perhaps he shouldn't have. But I think ultimately the aspects of his work which I think are still absolutely relevant, the aspects which no proponent of socialism has been able to rebut, are, I suppose, well, the calculation debate, price discovery, and the importance of the market for harnessing dispersed knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the infinite amount of knowledge in an economy, and how there is no way to centralize and manage that information because it is dispersed without the price mechanism.
The best rebuttal I've seen of his discoveries around price mechanism and dispersing knowledge is that, oh, well, one day prices won't exist. We'll just have an infinite amount of goods created by robots. One day they won't exist. And again, you know, and maybe there'll be unicorns and rainbows, but I'll believe it when I see it. What book or essay written by Hayek would you recommend to IA listeners that you don't think gets enough attention that really deserves more praise?
Well, I think actually, if I can say two.
Oh, yes, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay, so I think The Use of Knowledge in Society, I think, is one of the most important essays in history. And I think everyone needs to read that essay. And then I would say, if you are new to Hayek's work, or even if you're not, I think it's always, you know, good to refresh yourself. But I think The Fatal Conceit is something which, mm-hmm. you know, everyone would do well to read, even if maybe you are already leaning towards more free market. A free market position, which I imagine a lot of your listeners are. It's a great, it provides you with a great arsenal of arguments
against socialism. It really does.
And that's what we need to be doing.
After your mastermind appearance, what has the reception been like, both from the public, but also from people more closer to you, personal friends? Are you the odd one out now, or has there been understanding about why you're so passionate about this Nobel Prize winning economist?
I don't think I haven't had a hugely negative reaction to it. I mean, I think largely it's been one of ambivalence on social media, at least, because I think people just aren't aware of Hayek, and
that's very sad in its own right.
Exactly, and I think actually amongst my friends, people were impressed. I think just because I guess it's not something that people would naturally know much of anything about, and I guess to go on and get every question right, people kind of thought, well. You know, that's
well done.
Intriguing, yeah. That he got that he knows so much about that person.
Has it led people to ask you questions?
Yeah, it has actually, and
not just the BBC.
Not just the BBC. Well, actually, conspicuously, not the BBC. As in, aside from Mastermind. Yes. Yeah, people have asked, and I hope. I mean, I hoped when I chose Hayek that it would, you know. Maybe lead people to go to his Wikipedia page and find out who he is and what it is he stood for. And, you know, maybe they'd see, okay, classical liberalism, what is that? You know, what is classical liberalism, and how is that different to what I think I'm a liberal? And a lot of people think they're a liberal, but that's because they've sort of been misinformed about what a liberal actually is. People have asked me questions about Hayek, but I hope that they've done their own reading. I hope that that's kind of an outcome. At least if one person saw me on Mastermind and thought, okay, well, who is Hayek? And it led them to go and read up on his ideas. I think that's a victory.
You've contributed to the spontaneous order that makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Hayek would be very proud. Yeah. Francis, thank you so much for joining me. This was wonderful. You can download more IA podcasts on our iTunes channel, IA Conversations.
Thanks so much for having me.